one verse, half a verse, that's in verse 30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." We're just going to look at those words, "It is finished." And in fact, in the Bible, in the language in which the Bible is written, it's only one word. So we're just going to look at one word tonight. I wonder how often you've said those words. It's finished. It's over. Maybe not terribly happily. They're the sort of words you say when a romance has broken up. Years ago, there was a pop song which had the lines in it, "It must have been love, but it's over now." The words very mournful. "Lay a whisper on my pillow, leave the winter on the ground. I wake up lonely, there's air of silence in the bedroom all around. It must have been love, but it's over now. It must have been good, but I lost it somehow. It must have been love, but it's over now. It's finished." Some have been known to utter those words when they lie dying. Queen Elizabeth, not the present one, but the first one, lay dying at the ripe old age of 70 years, which was pretty good for those days, and she had reigned for 45 years. She was one of the longest reigning monarchs, and she was also one of the greatest monarchs that England has known, because under Queen Elizabeth, they defeated the Spanish Armada, which was called the Invincible Spanish Armada, and there followed a period of unparalleled prosperity at home and prestige abroad. It was known as the Golden Age of England. But as she lay dying, she cried out, "My God, it is over. I've come to the end of it, the end, to have only one life and then to have done with it, to have lived and to have loved and to have triumphed. And now to know it's over." And that was her cry as she lay dying on her bed. She was the greatest monarch of her age. Her final words on her deathbed were, "It's over. It's finished." And then she died. Her final cry was a cry of despair. So what about Jesus? Because when he died, they were his words. "It's over. It's finished." Was that a cry of despair? On the face of it, it should have been, because Jesus didn't live as long as Queen Elizabeth, who lived for 70 years. He didn't even live half that time. And he didn't reign for 45 years. His public ministry lasted barely 3 years. And he didn't die lying in state in a comfortable bed in a palace, but he died hanging naked and bleeding, with everyone to gawk upon him as a spectacle before the whole world. So when he died and he cried out, "It is finished, it is over," that should have been a cry of despair. You know, there's no hope, it's all over, I'm finished. It should have been a cry of frustration, the same as for Queen Elizabeth. He was dying before he'd accomplished all he could have accomplished. But these words were not, or this word, because it is just one word in the original, this word is not a cry of despair. It is a cry of victory. It is the greatest cry of victory that this world has ever heard. I'm not exaggerating when I say that. This is the greatest cry of victory that the world has ever heard. Because when you understand that, you will understand what Jesus was saying. A better way to translate it might be to say, Jesus saying, "It is accomplished." You know, back a couple of verses before, it says, Jesus knowing that all things were now accomplished. And so you could translate it, "It is accomplished." This is a cry of accomplishment. It's the cry of fulfillment, because it means you've set yourself a particular purpose that you're fulfilling, that you're setting out to fulfill in life. This has been your purpose, and that purpose is now fulfilled completely, nothing lacking. And in Jesus' case, that purpose was the greatest purpose in all the world. So to have accomplished that purpose was the greatest accomplishment in all the world. And that's why this cry is so triumphant. All his life, Jesus had been focused on this purpose. If you go back to chapter 4 and verse 34, It says there that Jesus said, we can do that if you like, if we can do it. There we go. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So right there at the beginning of his ministry, he's saying, I've got a purpose, I've got a work to do, I'm focused on that, I must do it, I must finish that work. You go to the next chapter, chapter 5 and verse 36, Jesus said there, halfway through the verse, he says, talks about the works which my Father has given me to finish. The very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And so he says, I have works to do. I've got something. I've got a purpose I've got to accomplish. Jesus came to this earth with a very specific purpose. He had a very specific work to do. And while ever he was here, he was every moment of his life vitally aware of that purpose. Even when he was 12, a 12-year-old boy, and for a while his parents lost track of him, but when they found him, Jesus said, why do you seek me? Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? That's a 12-year-old boy. He knew what he was here for. He was focused. He had a purpose. So what was that purpose? Okay, I want you to tell me in one sentence, why did Jesus come? Thank you, Kalila. To die for our sins. That's a good way to put it. Anyone want to put it any other way? Yes, Amara. That probably doesn't summarise it. Is that all we can say? He came to die for our sins. Sorry? Pay a ransom? To obey the law in our place. So there's probably different ways we can put it. And I want to look at that. I want to look at why did Jesus come? Because why Jesus came is the purpose for which he came, and it's the purpose which he can say at the end of his life, it is finished. Number one, Jesus came to die. If we go back to chapter 12, John chapter 12, so we're covering ground we've already covered in verse 27, and here in chapter 12, verse 27, Jesus is contemplating his death. And as he contemplates the fact that he's about to die, he says, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Is that what I'm going to say? Is that what I'm going to pray? But for this purpose I came to this hour. That's when he's contemplating his death. For this purpose I came to this hour. Until at last he could say, with all the triumph in the world, those words we were looking at before, it is finished. So when he died on the cross, he's able to say, look, now it is over. My sufferings, my death has accomplished everything. The incredible suffering that he endured on the cross, the very real physical sufferings, and the very real relational sufferings, and the very real emotional sufferings, and most terrible of all, the very real and horrible torment of all our guilty consciences loaded upon him while he was on the cross. What's your conscience like? Do you ever have a guilty conscience? Imagine if all the guilty consciences in the world were loaded upon you. And then, equally real and horrible, the terrible torments of hell for those guilty consciences all loaded upon you. That's what Christ suffered in his soul. On our behalf, so that he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it's those sufferings that broke Jesus. They broke his heart, probably literally broke his heart. But now the hour has come and Jesus cries out, it is finished. I came to die and now all my sufferings that I have dreaded for so long, that I was even tempted to pray God would take away from me, they're now all over, they come to an end, they are finished. But of course, if Jesus simply came to die, that would be pretty foolish, because that would accomplish nothing if that's all there was to it. So there had to be a reason for him coming to die. So the second reason the Bible talks about for him coming is one of the ones that you mentioned, and that is Jesus came to pay for our sin. That word finished can also be translated paid or paid in full. There was an occasion when Jesus was here upon this earth, and at one point the authorities came to him and reproached him for not paying the temple tax. The authorities actually came to Peter, the disciple Peter, and they said to Peter, "How come your master doesn't pay temple tax?" Or it's actually the same word. They said, "How come your master hasn't finished the temple tax?" So when Christ cried out here, "It is finished," you could actually translate that, "It is paid in full." That would be another way you could put it. Because that's why Jesus came. He came to pay a debt. On one occasion he put it this way. He said, "I didn't come to be served, but to serve, and to give my life a ransom for many." Now, you know what a ransom is. Someone gets kidnapped and then you have to pay a ransom to secure their release. And those are the terms that Jesus saw his coming in. Jesus saw his purpose in being here specifically to forfeit his life as a payment of a ransom. He came to pay the price of our sins. You know, we just sang about that. We sang, there is no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. So the Bible says that his death on the cross was a payment for our sin. And now at last the moment has come where Jesus can say, "It is finished. It is paid. It is paid in full." Now I want to ask you, can you say that? Can you say, "My sin is paid in full"? You don't have to earn your place with God. You don't have to earn favour with him. You can't earn favour with him. There is no other good enough to pay the price of sin. You are not good enough to earn God's favour. Christ has done it all for those who are in Christ. The question is, are you in Christ? Because you can only ensure you are in Christ by faith. Are you in Christ? Do you have faith in Christ? Have you consciously and deliberately turned away from every known sin and sinful practice in your life and turned in faith to Christ? If so, then trust him and don't listen to that voice that accuses you inside of you. And don't listen to that voice that accuses you outside of you, the voice of the devil himself. Because Christ has paid it all. It is paid in full. There is nothing left for you to pay. It's all finished. And that's what the Bible means when, and this is the third reason the Bible gives for Jesus coming, that's what the Bible means when it says Jesus came to save sinners, which one of us gave the answer there before. Jesus said, "I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was my purpose in coming." Paul says in one of his letters, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners," and he added, "of whom I am chief." So Jesus came for no other purpose. He came to save people like you and me. He came to save sinners. So, in that moment when he died on the cross, he was able to shout in victory, "It is finished. I have accomplished what I came to do. I came to save sinners, and I have saved sinners." Do you realise that? I mean, if you are a sinner saved by Christ, which means that you have put your faith in Christ, that means that 2,000 years ago, when the world heard that cry that Jesus uttered upon the cross, Jesus was talking about you. "It is finished. I came to this earth to save a poor, wretched sinner like Ken Stebbins, and now it is finished. I have saved him. Ken Stebbins will be a saved sinner. I came to this earth to save a poor, wretched sinner like Ian McKerrell, and now I have saved him, and Ian McKerrell will be a saved sinner. I have come to this earth to save a poor, wretched sinner like Corinne Earnesy, and now I have saved her, Corinne Earnesy will be a saved sinner. That's what Jesus was saying when he was on the cross. You see what a wonderful cry that was. Without that cry, you would still be lost. Jesus would never have accomplished what he came to achieve. But because of that cry, even a poor, wretched sinner like you has hope. On that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ, I live. Another hymn we sing, the joy of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul, it is finished. By destroying sin, Jesus also came to destroy the devil and hell itself. Now we're going to flip over to Hebrews chapter 2 because there's a very precious verse in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14 where it says, let's pick up somewhere here, this is why Jesus came, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So this tells us that Jesus came to destroy the devil. That is the reason he came. When he said, it is finished, that meant that Satan is finished. Satan is now a defeated foe. He is still a foe. But the moment that Jesus died, he is finished. When John, who wrote the gospel that we're looking at, was very old, he received another revelation from God, and he had visions of heaven itself, and he had visions of what had been happening in heaven. And he had a vision of how Satan had fallen. And he writes about Satan as the great dragon in the book of Revelation. He says, the great dragon was cast out. That serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. And that would seem to be referring to the very moment that Jesus died. At the moment that Jesus died, Satan was defeated. He was expelled forever from the presence of God. He could no longer come before God and accuse God's people. Satan was finished. He still attacks. And he still tempts you night and day. And he still seeks to lead you astray. And he is still a dangerous foe. But from the moment that Jesus died, he was a defeated foe. He is finished. And likewise, at this moment, death was finished. For the believer, at least, the sting is taken out of death. And that is because the Bible says that the sting of death is sin. The real sting in death is sin. It is sin that brings about the terrors of death. But once sin is finished, death is also finished. Now you might say to me, hang on, I'm still going to die, aren't I? Doesn't the Christian still die? And yes, that is true. But in the death of a believer, as painful as that may be, the sting of death is removed. The Bible says, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The terror of death is the terror of hell that lies beyond. But for the believer, at least, hell is finished. And hell can hold no threat for the believer in Jesus Christ. Oh, death, where is your sting? You could even translate it, oh, hell, where is your victory? Hell is finished. Death, as it once was, is finished. and hell as the gateway to eternal torment is finished for the Christian. As we read there in Hebrews chapter 2, through his death, Jesus has destroyed him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and released those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. We need not fear death. Most of us do, but we need not. The sting of death is gone. The fear of death is removed in Christ. We need not be in bondage to the fear of death. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." And especially, and this is the fifth and final reason for Jesus coming, Jesus came to bring life. I mean, that's what these talks are all about. Find life. That's why John says he wrote his gospel. He says, "These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." And Jesus came to bring life. We'll go back to John chapter 10, covering ground we've already covered, and verse 10. Jesus says there, halfway through the verse, he says, "I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." This is the ultimate reason that Jesus came. He came that they may have life. So we can go through all those other things. Yes, Jesus came to die, but not just to die, but that by dying he might pay for our sins. Jesus came to pay for our sins. And in paying for our sins, he came to save sinners. And in saving sinners, he destroyed the devil and death. Jesus came to destroy the devil and death. So Jesus came to die, he came to pay for our sins, he came to save sinners, he came to destroy the devil and death, but all this that we might have life. Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. That's what he accomplished when he died on the cross. That's what he accomplished when he said, "It is finished." That's what he meant. Just three words in English. It was just one word in the Bible. It is finished. And that is the one word that can transform your whole life. It is a cry of victory. It's not the "it is finished" that Queen Elizabeth cried when she lay dying. "It's finished, it's all over, just one life, and this is all comes down to this." And it's not the cry of despair of a jilted lover. "I wake up lonely, there's air of silence in the bedroom and all around. It must have been love, but it's over now." Now, this is the cry of a conqueror. "It is finished. I have conquered. The work I came to do is completed. Everything I set out to do is accomplished. All my sufferings are at an end. The debt for sin has been paid in full. The power of sin is completely broken. Death has been wholly conquered. The devil and hell are finished. It's all done. It's all finished." Maybe as you sit here tonight, you don't feel like a conqueror. Perhaps you feel more conquered or defeated than conquering. You look at the end of your, or you look towards the end of your life and you think, "All I'll be able to say at the end of my life is, it's finished. It's all over. Just one life, it all comes down to this." But it doesn't have to be that way, because you too can conquer in Christ. In fact, the Bible says you can be more than a conqueror in him who loved us. You don't have to be conquered by your guilt and your shame and your condemnation. You can be forgiven. You can conquer in Christ. And if you're already Christ tonight, but maybe you feel like you're not winning, you don't have to go on being defeated by sin. You don't have to go on being overcome by temptation. You don't have to go on giving in to bad habits. You don't have to go on generally being shaped by the fallen world around you. Because in Christ you can and you will conquer. This cry of victory is sounding in our ears. It is finished. It is accomplished. I have won. That's what Jesus was saying. But don't shut your ears to that shout of triumph. And don't let the whimpering and the whining of a defeated world around about you drown it out. You may feel defeated and worn down and overcome. What you need to hear is this cry of Jesus, who is victorious, that even on the cross at death, especially at the moment of death, he is victorious. That's what you need to hear. If you are Christ, his victory is your victory. So please, let that victory raise your spirits, your defeated spirits, and let that victory shape your whole world. Amen.